Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the program today. I have something a little bit different for you. I'd like to talk about my website. Basically, there are resources for this program that are available on the web. We have archived sermons, some information about the missions work that I do down in Haiti, and a few other things. Also, I'd like to talk about the missions work that we do. After that, I've got an archived message from back in 1998 or so. I did a series in Genesis, and I'd like to play that for you. After that, I have some music from John Starnes that I think that you might enjoy. But first, like I said, I have a website. My name is Joey Kelly, joeykelly.net is the website. You'll see that I'm a computer technician, and I'm also a minister of the gospel. If you click on the links on the left, you'll find that I have a few things there. You can go to the main site, and you'll see the different things that I do. Obviously, I'm an evangelist, and I do missions work down in Haiti. You can read about some of the different things that I've done. You can read descriptions. I've got a few pictures. And hopefully I'm going to add some pictures in the future. But also on the website, I've got archived versions of this program that you're listening to. You click on the link for radio and you'll see them. Essentially, they're podcasts. Essentially, the exact same thing that you hear on this station. You can download the podcast, both in a high bandwidth format and a low bandwidth format. If you're on a dial-up modem or something, you can choose the low format. If you have broadband, you can choose the high link. And hopefully the website will be of some use to you. Now, as I said, I'm a minister of the gospel, and God has called me to do a number of things. He's called me to teach the gospel. He's called me to preach. I do whatever I can to serve him, but one of the things that I do is that I make trips to Haiti and also a couple of other countries. I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Honduras, and maybe I'll go some other places in the future. But I've been, I think, four or five times to the nation of Haiti down in the Caribbean. Obviously, Haiti's been in the news for a long while. They have dictator after dictator. They have a lot of trouble down there politically. But one thing that they have down there is a lot of people that are wanting to hear about Jesus Christ. Over here, if you try and preach on the street corner, generally people laugh at you, throw stuff at you, ignore you, call you names, what have you. Some will listen, but most of the time you'll just get heckled. But when you go to Haiti, or you go to Mexico, or China, or any other place that, let's say, that's not the first world, let's say the third world countries, you'll find that as you walk down the street and try to talk to people, or if you come to preach at a church and they hear that there's an American there, the people will flock to you. If you have any kind of leaflet or tract or anything, they'll snatch it up right away. They want anything that you have. And it's really a joy to be able to minister in third world countries. But as I said, I've been there three or four times, maybe four or five. I'm beginning to lose count. I've been so much. We stay in Port-au-Prince. We minister in Port-au-Prince. There's a number of churches that I've preached in and around Port-au-Prince. And I've also made a couple of trips out into the country. There are several churches here in New Orleans that are made up of expatriate Haitians, and I've preached in a couple of those churches. And I work with one of the pastors here, and I've gone basically he has a number of different places that he ministers. One is way up in the woods, in the middle of absolutely nowhere. He has a church on one mountain, and on the other side of the mountain, he's got a school that he's started. These villages are basically inaccessible. We can drive to one, but there's never been a wheeled vehicle bigger than, let's say, a four-wheeler to visit the other one. We have to walk. It's about a 50-minute walk over really rough ground and over a hill and what have you. But we try to bring the gospel to these people. We try to tell them that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to tell them the same thing that you hear in this program here. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I'd like you to pray for me. I'd like you to pray for me that hopefully I'll be able to make another trip, maybe in December or January of next year. I'd like to go for a couple of weeks and hold revival meetings there. But I'd like you to pray for the people that are there that we minister to. It's easy to get the gospel here in America. You just drive a couple of blocks on Sunday, there's a church on most every corner. Some of the people that we minister to have to walk, like I say, about 40 minutes to come to church. And when they come, like I said, they're hungry. But please pray for these people that God would bring revival to them. Please pray for us, the ministers, that God would give us something to say to somehow reach and touch the hearts of those that are listening. And I do thank you for praying and ask that you continue to do so. But as I said, here's an archived message out of the book of Genesis that I taught some years ago on another radio station. Hello and welcome to the program today. I'd ask that you pardon my voice. I'm a little bit sick today. We're going to be studying out of Genesis chapter 1, the fourth day of creation. That's verses 14 through 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, not just myself, but Lord, we all ask, collectively begging, Lord, that you would move in our lives. Lord, David said, I'm a worm, Lord, and I'm not even fit to be called a man. I know that there are other messages, other gospels preached that talk about how wonderful we are and how much that we deserve recognition. But my Bible teaches that man ought to be humble before God. And that's what we do today, God. We humble ourselves before you. We need your help in everything, even the things that we think we can do on our own. Because the Bible says that it's better to put our trust in God and not in ourselves, to put our trust in the Almighty and not pitiful human flesh. God, come into our lives. Make your abode in our hearts for those that are not saved, but for the Christians, Lord, come and be more Lord every day, Lord of more areas of our lives, Lord of every nook and cranny of our heart. We need a touch from heaven, God. We don't want to live for ourselves. We want to live for Jesus. And Lord, help us to be rid of self. God, empty us of self-will. Empty us of pride. Empty us, Lord, of ambition. So that Jesus Christ could be real in our hearts and lives, and so that the Spirit of God can flow without hindrance. Because it's only the living water that is able to touch another soul. And the living water has to be able to flow. Lord, start with this preacher, Lord. And then use me so that you can move on the hearts of others, that they would yield their lives to you. Lord, anoint the broadcast, anoint the teaching today. And strengthen me and strengthen those that are listening. And help us all to follow Jesus. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, and all the credit in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night,
and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. It's in verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The fourth day of creation. You say, what are the lights in the firmament? Well, basically, it's pretty obvious. That's the sun and the moon and the stars. In verse 16, he made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. That's the sun. A lesser light to rule the night, that basically is the moon, and he made the stars also. Now there's some things I'm really not ready to discuss just yet, perhaps in the next program or the one after that. There are various theories on the book of Genesis, in the first few chapters, about the order of different things and the way that God ordered everything and created everything. But what I want to focus on today is that from the vantage point of earth, God started out, and it says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We started out in darkness before we came to Christ. We did everything we wanted to do. And we really didn't care what God wanted us to do. We wanted our own way. We wanted to go and perhaps chase women or go to the bars or drive fast in our new Corvette or whatever we had. We wanted to do it our way. And we were in darkness. We didn't know the right way and we were hell-bound. But God intervened. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Someone came to you, if you're a Christian today, someone came to you to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says in Isaiah that those that sat in darkness saw a great light. And I'm so thankful that the light of God's Word has been made real to me. I'm grateful that I'm saved. I'm so thankful. I don't know where I'd be today. I know I wouldn't have succeeded in life. I don't know where I would have been, but I'm so thankful that God has come into my life and changed me. But it says here in verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now we know about seasons. We have spring, summer, winter, and fall. And that's determined by the length of the days of the position of the earth in respect to the sun. We know what days are. We know what years are. But it says, and let them be for signs. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Signs. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, and I'd like you to see something. Acts chapter 2. This was on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up with the 11 and he preached. In verse 15 of Acts chapter 2, it says, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is when the Spirit of God was poured out, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you know something? The Bible says it, and I'm just going to believe the Bible. Well, that passed away. That petered out when Peter petered out. Well, I'm going to believe the Bible. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in my servants and in my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now listen up, verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a remarkable passage. He says, I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, of course, the great and notable day is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Revelation about the sun turning black and the moon turning blood red. And that day, the day of Jacob's trouble, is coming. The book of Revelation will begin to be, it was foretold, and it will begin to come to pass. Everything that was written, not one jot or tittle shall pass away, Jesus said, until all be fulfilled. We need to do what verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to call upon him. Sinner, you need to call upon Jesus. Christian, you need to trust in the Lord, because we're looking to him, and we trust in Jesus against that horrible day. When you say, I'm looking for Jesus to come, that must mean you're a Christian. But let me tell you, if you're looking for him, if you're expecting him, then God still wants to judge your heart. He wants to purify your heart, that there be no impurity. How many of you know that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish or any such thing? He wants to purge the old lump, that we should have a new lump, Paul said, meaning a lump of dough. If it has leaven, if you leave it with just a little bit of leaven, you come back later, the whole thing is full of leaven, it's risen. And Paul said we need to get the sin out of our lives. We need to get the leaven out of our lives, the corruption, the false doctrine, the self-will, to get it out of our lives. Because that awful and dreadful day is coming. Yes, I'm looking for him to come back. But let me tell you, that's the end, friend. That's the end. And there's 7 years of tribulation for the sinner to try and turn the sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. These signs, wonders in the heaven above, sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, points to Jesus Christ and his imminent return. And friend, when the church is raptured, the clock starts ticking. There's 7 years left. And whoever's going to get right has to get right in those 7 years. And of course, it'll be very hard with the Antichrist. But it all points to Jesus Christ. All the plagues, the vials, the bowls, all of these things are judgment. But really, it's trying to get men to turn to Jesus. So it says in Genesis chapter 1, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Well, I have another sign I'd like you to look at. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 2. He says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. You see, these signs, in that God set the sun, moon, and stars in the heaven for, in the sky, he set them there for signs to us. Well, yeah, it's so that we can tell time, so that we know when morning is, so that we know when to get up or when to go to bed, or what year it is, but also so that we would know of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. God has a plan every jot and every tittle in the Word of God means something. Even if you go to Numbers and you read all the begats, such and so was the son of such and so, or you read the things in Leviticus that don't seem to make a lot of sense, let me tell you, everything means something in the Word of God, even the little things. God says even the sparrows, He counts them. The hairs on your head, He counts them. And even the stars, they're signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
There is a name I love to whisper. Any time of day or night, and oh, the peace that accompanies its mention. No tongue can tell, no pen can write. Whisper, Jesus, I love you, and if we then would please our Master, then we would praise Him more. Oh, how He loves Jesus. will flood your soul.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.